In many ways, I think Doubting Thomas, the name that we all know him by, gets a bad deal. After all, he wasn't the only one, nor was he the first one in Holy Scripture to ever doubt. You only have to get into the third chapter of Genesis, the story of the temptation in the Garden of Eden, to see doubt demonstrated and have its effect. The devil, in the form of a serpent, planted doubt when he asked Eve, "Did God really say you shall not eat of the tree, of any tree in the garden?" We all know what happens next. Soon after, Cain too doubted the word of the Lord and killed his brother over it. The people in Noah's time doubted the Lord and drowned in their unbelief. The people in the time of the Tower of Babel doubted God's word to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. So they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth." God confused their language and dispersed them anyway. Abraham, when promised the land of Canaan, doubted God, and he asked, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" When promised an heir to inhabit this land, Abraham took it upon himself to have a child with his wife's servant, because his wife was too old. When the Lord appeared to him again and promised Abraham a child with Sarah, Abraham laughed at God, and so did Sarah, for they doubted that they would have a child in their old age. I'm afraid history shows that Moses didn't do any better. When God commissions him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses rebels several times, saying that he is unable, that the people won't believe him or listen to him, and that he's not eloquent of speech. And who is he to be able to lead the Israelites out of Egypt or even speak to the Pharaoh? Even after the 10 plagues and God's demonstration of deliverance from the Egyptians, Moses doubts God's provision and asks God to kill him, for the burden of leading the Israelites was just too much for him. And like Moses, the people of Israel doubt God and his plan for them to inhabit the promised land, and they reject Joshua and Caleb's assessment of their ability to take it from the people who currently inhabit it. Their distrust of God cost them 40 years of wandering in the desert. Joshua, too, falls victim to disbelief when he pleads with the Lord, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we not have been content to dwell among beyond the Jordan?" Some of the other great leaders of the Old Testament didn't fare too well either. Gideon rejects the Lord's commission when he replies to the Lord's call to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Even after the Lord promises to be with him, Gideon asks for a sign, not once, but twice, just to make sure that what God was telling him was going to come true. And there were the other great men of the Old Testament who had trouble believing the Lord even after God showed them great acts of power. Elijah runs for his life after defeating 450 prophets of Baal. Jeremiah doubts God's commission because he is only just a young man, not knowing how to speak. Saul is afraid of Goliath, so he has the shepherd boy David do his work for him. David has his own anxieties about faith in the Lord and laments throughout the Psalms. Solomon decides that politics is of greater importance than believing in God alone and takes many wives a different face, which leads to him turning away from the Lord. And the list goes on. The New Testament people of faith did not fare any better. When the angel of the Lord appears to the priest Zechariah in the temple and foretells the birth of a son to Zechariah's wife Elizabeth, he replies to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." That question and his doubt cost Zechariah the ability to speak. The angel replies to Zechariah, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Peter, when commanded to get out of the boat, starts to sink in disbelief and cries out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Martha, at the thought of opening the tomb, questions Jesus about the odor. After all, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And on that Easter morning, so long ago, Mary Magdalene believes someone has taken the Lord out of the tomb. Even the disciples as a whole, at various times and in various ways, doubted Jesus. I think that's hard for us to grasp, hard for us to understand the reluctance of the disciples to believe. After all, they had seen his miracles, his power over nature, over life and death. Yet in Mark, the disciples question his command to feed the 5,000. Later in Mark, after the resurrection, many still do not believe the eyewitness accounts. We read, "But when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen." And at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the Bible tells us, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And of course, we have the narrative of the doubting Thomas, the gospel for today, where Thomas is forever remembered for his words, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." It seems that doubt comes naturally to the human mind. We have talked about many examples, great people throughout history that have had their doubts. And in some ways, doubting the resurrection is understandable. No one has ever raised themselves from the dead. And there was no doubt that Jesus was dead. He was hung on the cross until he died. The centurion made sure of it, sticking a spear in his side. Jesus was then laid in a tomb, no doubt about it. The stone was placed in front of the opening, guards posted. Though no one had ever been raised, has raised themselves from the grave, they just wanted to make sure. Fast forward 2,000 years. We still question the resurrection, still face the same doubts as those who have come before us. And though doubt may come naturally to us, doubt is bad for us. Doubt is a prison of fear. The disciples were locked up with their fears that Easter evening, fearing the Jews, fearing their own arrest and death. Their hopes were dashed. They had hoped that Jesus was the one who would come to deliver them. Can you imagine what it was like in that room? In their doubt, there was only misery and pity. The last 3 years had been a lie. Jesus was dead. They were without hope. There would be no peace for the troubled, no rest for the weary, no hope for the dying. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, they feared that all is meaningless. As modern doubters, what imprisons us? What chains hold us captive? What causes us to be afraid? What makes us question God's word? I believe all of us can look back to the examples of doubt throughout the biblical narrative and find someone that we can relate to. If we search our inner feelings and our secret thoughts, we may find a Sarah, or Elijah, or maybe even Peter. We may even find a Thomas, a doubting Thomas. Many people inside and outside of the church are afflicted with the doubt syndrome of Thomas. Unless I see, unless I touch, unless I feel, I will never believe. We too want proof, assurances, guarantees. We think that faith would have been so much easier in the disciples' days, hearing his teaching, witnessing his miracles, seeing the man himself. Or to be Moses, whose face glowed because he is talking with God. Or to be Elijah, who defeated 450 evil priests. Or to be Peter, who was called out of the boat and walked on water. Surely their faith never wavered. Surely they never doubted. Yet, we know better. They all doubted. Moses wanted God to kill him. Elijah runs and hides. And Peter sinks in disbelief. You may ask yourself, if these great people of the Bible doubted, how do I even stand a chance? Well, you don't. You don't stand a chance. And that's okay. No one will have perfect faith this side of heaven. We will have doubt. But through faith in Christ, who died and now lives, our doubts are cast aside. Our faith is created and maintained by hearing the word of Jesus, the word of God, the word by which the Spirit works, by hearing the Bible. When we hear the word, we are led to confess that we are sinners for whom Christ died. We all know John 3:16, that we know that God gave his Son so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. In many of our worship services, our worship service today, in fact, we confess that if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the word, we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Paul writes that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, and that our faith in Christ comes by hearing. That is not something that we do, our work, but Christ's work accomplished on the cross. By the word joined to visible means, our faith is built and sustained. We are baptized into Jesus' death, which means we are joined to him in his resurrection. Because Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, we too will walk in newness of life eternal. In the Lord's Supper, he feeds us with his body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take, eat, take, drink. Faith strengthened and sustained for this life into life to come. By the word created faith, we have a true and eternal life that is in Jesus. Remember that life is lived in relationship with others. That in Christ we have a relationship with God that begins now and extends throughout eternity. The last verse of the gospel for today tells us that the word was written so that we may believe in Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we have life in his name. And by the word, we become members of the family of God. Since Thomas was absent from the gathering of Christ's people, he missed so much. In this case, he missed seeing the risen Lord. Sadly, many miss seeing the Lord today because they do not join the gathering of Christian brothers and sisters in worship and the study of the Word. It is here, through the means of grace, that we receive strength and comfort over against doubts, fears, disappointments, and losses, all by the indwelling and the working of the Holy Spirit. And it is because of the word and what we receive here that we even face death with confidence and hope. By the word, we live life with joy and assurance. I do think that Thomas, in some ways, is unfairly labeled. Was his doubt different? different than the so many other doubters that came before him or after him? Without a doubt, we all have been a Sarah, Abraham, Moses, Peter, Mary, maybe even a Thomas, a doubting Thomas, at one point in our lives. Are we so different? Have we never asked God for proof? I think we all have, even though the proof is right in front of us, in His Word, in baptism, in Holy Communion. We have the proof if we just open our eyes of faith and see it. Doubting Thomas? Well, maybe we just shouldn't call names. Maybe it should just be Thomas from now on. After all, it could just as easily have been me or you labeled as the doubter. For all mankind are sinners, the great and the not so great, you and me, saved by our risen Savior, who says to us, touch, see, listen. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Amen.